2CC Richard Perno podcast.
Luke Smith, financial planner at Envision Financial at envisionfinancial.com.au. How are you?
I'm very well.
Do you earn money? Do you earn an income?
A little bit. I try and keep my wife happy. That's all I do.
The hardest thing to do is to put a little bit away for that inevitable rainy day.
Yeah, well, you know, it's. I think a lot of things, it all comes down to income.
Planning.
Yep. Cash flow's king.
Is this a silly question? What is an income?
Well, I think in this context, when we talk about portfolios, we talked about asset allocation last week, and I think today talking about income and where it comes from is really important, because I have this conversation with people a lot, and generally they tell me two things. I need some good income to retire on, because that's what will fund my pension when I finish work. And two, I need some growth to offset the effect of inflation so that I can protect the value of my money over time.
But income is what you get from doing a job.
Well, income in this context, what we're going to talk about today is what's earned from your investments and where it comes from. So today we're going to touch on, off the back of last week's show about asset allocation, today we're going to talk about income and why it's good, where it comes from, and some things that people should consider when they're looking at their own super, their own investments, to understand whether what they have is actually giving them what they need.
Okay, portfolio. By that you mean?
Correct. Well, it could be investments in super, could be investments in their own name, could be investments in a company, a trust, anything where you've invested in something or acquired an asset to generate you income as part of your broader resource pool.
Yeah. So therefore, you're going to have to look at what you've got where.
Correct, exactly right. Yeah. So I guess, why is income good? Income is good because it helps to fund lifestyle when you finish retirement. And a lot of people want that comfort and security of knowing that a good, strong income stream is being generated, so that that can then accumulate in a bank account and fund a weekly, fortnightly, quarterly, or annual pension payment.
Right.
Because income protects having the need or the requirement to access capital from your portfolio. So if you've got $1 million and your portfolio earns $50,000 a year, if you live on that $50,000, there's very little need to access the capital, so you're protecting the longevity of your money and what you could then have in future years, because we all know markets go up and down, and we're seeing that at the moment with some ongoing volatility. And I'd say there's probably going to be some more volatility on Monday.
Yeah, I think when it's huge with banking. Comes out.
Correct. So income is important because it underpins pensions. It prevents the need to sell assets. And this is one from a planning perspective that we work a lot on, is to say, in times of weakness, you don't necessarily want to be forced to sell something at a price you don't want to sell it at. So having income in the portfolio helps to underpin lifestyle and limit the need to be able to access capital and sell something at a price where you wish you could hang on to it and let it come back.
Can you tell the government that?
Oh, look, there's plenty of things I'd like to tell the government in this field, but
there's much jewellery that the government's current and past have sold off, haven't they?
Yes.
Once you sell off an asset,
correct,
that is it.
That's right. So good income is a really good way to protect your capital value, but also the longevity of your money, or you know how long what you have is going to last, so you can do the things you want to do, because that's ultimately why we have assets. That's why we build resources over our working lives. And if you're fortunate enough to get in a position where you don't need income, then that's absolutely fantastic. I learned that this morning. We don't need income. And for some people, that's great. If you've got income from other sources and you don't need to draw income from a portfolio, then you can look at a more growth-orientated investment suite.
Yeah.
So it's always about tailoring something for yourself and what you need, as opposed to what the girls at work or the guys down the pub need, because everybody has different requirements, different costs, different lifestyle expectations.
Yeah, Luke, does that mean before you plunge in to buy something that may give you that income for your portfolio, you've really got to look at what's going to give you back?
Well, that's exactly right. The key consideration here is, what sort of income am I after? That then brings us to, well, where can I get it from? So historically, Australian shares has been a good way to try and achieve a strong reoccurring income stream. So at the moment, the banks are a good example. So we've seen bank prices or share prices come off over the last 12 months. However, we've seen strong reoccurring income in relation to the dividend stream to this point. So the total return from a bank could be -8, -10, but the income stream could be 6 to 8%. If you're in pension phase and you can collect the franking credits, you could have had 8.5%.
Hello, Bill Shorten.
Provided we can keep our franking credits, exactly. So looking at an asset and saying, well, why am I buying something is really important. but also then saying, well, where am I going to invest my money? And that's where this conversation today ties into last week, because last week we talked about asset allocation, how we slice the pie up and we don't have all our eggs in one basket. So now we're saying, okay, well, we understand our risk profile, so where can we get our income? So listed shares provide us good income. Now, not all listed shares provide the same dividends. We need to be cognizant of the fact that bank income is different to medical income, that's different to other sectors. Okay, so just because it's an Australian share doesn't mean it has a good income stream, because Cochlear is a fantastic stock, they make hearing aids, but they're a growth play, they're not an income provider. So we need to look at the asset and say, if I'm going to buy a share, what are its characteristics? Look under the hood, as I say much week. What's its income? What's its growth? What's its earnings rate? And we know that if we want income, don't buy a growth stock.
That means you don't go into gambling, do you? I'm not talking about cards and roulette or whatever, but if you go into a stock or a share that has a volatility attached to it, that you may not get that income that you think you're going to get. You may buy that share on that first day and get a buck out of it, but then tomorrow the share might go down and you don't get anything. Is that how it works?
Well, potentially, because a change in the value of a share is a reflection of sentiment.
Yeah.
Do we like it? Do we not like it? Distributions come from earnings and profit. So the banks are a good example. They're a bit on the nose at the moment because of the way that they've conducted themselves.
They're still pretty solid.
But from a profit perspective, they're still making very good money. So dividends come from earnings. Share price is a reflection of how you and I and the rest of the country feel about the outlook of that company.
Okay, so if you've got an investment property, you will get an income, won't you?
Well, if you rent the place and you say, right, I'm happy collecting $50,000 a year in rent, do you really care if your place is worth $1 million, $1,050,000, $1,950,000? As long as you're collecting your $50,000 in retirement, that valuation is going to be a sentiment of the environment at the time, how people feel about that suburb, that street, that house.
That's it. But it's a little earlier, Luke, we were talking about the values of property in Canberra. Mm. Barton has gone down 14% in units. So they're volatile as well, aren't they?
And this is where we talk about asset allocation last week. Yeah. And I stress to people, understand your risk profile. Because if you don't understand your risk profile, I used the analogy last week, you could end up driving 170 kilometres in a 100 zone. Mm. And when you hit a tree, you can't really get upset because you knew what you were doing. If you don't, well, you probably shouldn't have been driving the car. Yeah. So it's important for people to understand how they feel about risk. You touched on property, commercial property, and listed property. Okay, so Australian Real Estate Investment Trust, AREIT, is a collection of commercial property in one investment.
Right.
That'll pay 6 to 7%. Commercial property is in a similar sort of bracket. So understanding the sector and what that sector does is important. Fixed interest, as we touched on, a lower rate of income at maybe 2%, 3%, or 4%.
But it's steady.
But steady and less volatility. Yeah. So again, we're coming back to our appetite for risk and saying, right, where do we put the different eggs in different baskets? We have some in the defensive bracket. We have some in property. Property will give us a good yield, and over time, you'd like to see it go up in value. Australian shares, depending on what we buy, will give us good income. It'll also give us the benefit of franking credits. Now, for those out there that aren't in pension phase, once you put a pension hat on and you have an account-based pension, at the moment under the legislation, everything inside that pension is tax-free, both income earned and capital gains. So if we have an Australian share and we put $10,000 into CBA and it pays us $500 of dividend income over the course of a year, that money's banked in our account. Now, CBA's paid tax on that. And what they do is they give us the tax credit that they've paid, which in that example could be worth another $200, $220, which further increases the total income return from what you've bought. So I stress to people, understand your risk profile, understand where your income's coming from, and have an idea of what you need. Because if you're in an industry fund, for example, they don't provide a dividend. That's a unitised fund that reflects the change in value in the unit price only. Okay, so if you're after a good income to fund lifestyle, that may not be for you at the moment.
There you go. Luke Smith, financial planner at Envision Financial. You can call their office on 6260-4749. And as we highlight each week, the first visit doesn't cost you anything. You've got nothing to lose, but you've got plenty to gain at 4452 Townsend Street. You can go online, have a look at them. All the work that they've done, envisionfinancial.com.au. Talking income. Okay, let's just do a summary of the first one we were talking about. How do you get good income?
So I guess understand where it's coming from.
Cool.
So understand your asset allocation, make sure you've targeted something that meets your needs, and make sure that, as we say, use the analogy, don't drive the car too fast. Be comfortable with what you're doing, because achieving outcome is not a race. It's something that you want that's consistent every year to underpin your lifestyle.
So before you get into buying something that you hope will generate an income, study it first.
Well, as I say each week, start with why.
Yeah.
Why am I buying it, and what is it doing?
What will it give me?
Yep, exactly.
Because that's what it is. That's into your portfolio. What about superannuation? How can that help my portfolio?
So look, I think what people should consider when they're looking at their super fund and the income that's available is obviously the investment menu. Okay, it's important that people have a very good, solid, broad investment menu, because the more choice you have, the greater control you could have about what you can invest in, how you can generate the income, and what that actually has in relation to value for you every year. So if you're in a fund that doesn't let you buy shares, you're missing out on the opportunity to generate a good yield, as we said. Bank stocks in a tax-free pension, 6 to 8% cash, very, very strong. You'll also be able to get access to specialised managed funds. So a lot of good personal super funds will allow you to invest in a suite of different opportunities. Similarly, with a self-managed super fund, you have greater control over what you buy, and then you can go and start tailoring. Do I buy an active fund? Do I buy a passive fund? And exchange traded funds, ETFs.
Just define those. What's an active fund?
So an active fund is where you have a manager that will actively try and create outperformance relevant to an index. So they'll try and chase a little bit of extra return by moving in and out of positions during the year. A passive fund is, like we've talked about with an ETF, it'll replicate a specific index and do exactly that. No more,
nothing
no less.
Else.
It just gives you a targeted exposure to one area of the market. Do I want to buy the ASX top 20, top 50, 200 equities, 200 property, S&P 500, and so on. So they're getting broader and broader. They can also be a very good way of achieving diversified income as well as franking credits. Make sure that you're in the right fund. Okay, so if you want to collect $50,000 of dividends, don't be in a generic industry fund option. And it's not anti-industry funds. It's more about saying, what does the fund do? They don't provide dividends. They collate the total return of the investments they hold in the unit price. So you have to sell units in an industry fund to be able to take money out. I would much rather be able to control the income stream, because in times of solid performance, that's great. In times of weakness, if I've still got an income stream coming in, I'm reducing my need to sell something at a time that I may not wish to do.
Yeah.
Not, I won't use the term fire sale, but obviously things have different values and different methods of value. And being able to control when and how you get rid of something, like an investment property, if everybody in the street selling, you may not want to sell. If you're the only house in the suburb, you may want to sell. But if you're collecting your $50,000 of rent along the way, you've got greater control over your need to be able to do the things you want to do.
Yeah.
Because income is the one thing that ensures you don't need to try and sell assets, and you can live and do the things you've wanted to do whilst you've accumulated assets over your working life.
Yeah, and as we said, Luke, once you've sold it, you've sold it. You can't get it back.
Well, exactly right. I'd much rather control the income stream and then decide when we get rid of something than have to sell something for the sake of going on a holiday.
So really, to start with, once you're considering about what kind of thing you're going to get to give you an income, you're going to have to do some homework, aren't you?
Well, you're going to need to start with, okay, one, what sort of income do we want? Two, how are we going to achieve it? What are we going to buy? And what's going to let us achieve our 3, 4, 5, 6% that you may be after? The next thing people should think about is, well, what am I going to use?
Mm.
Do I use a self-managed super fund? Do I use a personal super fund? Do I put my tax-efficient investments in my trust and my tax inefficient investments in my super fund? So understanding where you're going to hold your assets, as you touched on earlier, is really important as well, because it's about maximizing control, obviously trying to mitigate tax unnecessarily and getting the outcome that you're after. But you have to think about this, and we always start with, why am I doing it? How am I going to do it? Where am I going to do it? And then we delve in from there.
Bill Shorten, I like your acronym of the week.
Yes, fully franked dividends. So while we can get them and keep them, let's talk franking credits quickly. These should be a part of a retirement portfolio. I'm a big advocate of income, and franking credits are very, very powerful for retirees in pension structures, because a pension by default is a tax-free structure. So if you can receive a cash dividend and then an additional refund of the franking credits because there's no tax to offset, that can help fund and protect the longevity of your capital to the tune of thousands of dollars. That has a lot of value over the year. And if I gave you a choice and said, receive 5% of income or receive 8% of income and the franking credits paid for a trip overseas every year, that's a way of putting into context the value of having these in your portfolio.
Yeah, that's it.
Now,
that's it.
What does it mean? It's just the tax paid on the investments that you hold. That's all a franking credit is. CBA, for example, pays its tax and it says, okay, Mr. Investor, you backed me, I'll back you.
Yeah, here it is.
I'll give you those credits. So that's all it is. It's just a refund of the tax paid by the company that you've invested in.
If you want to know more about this, there are many avenues, there are many streams you can get into. The Knowledge Centre?
Yeah, we've got the Knowledge Centre on the website. That has a huge library of technical material, videos, written materials, calculators, risk profiles, and a whole load of little mini courses people can do to try and sharpen up their knowledge or answer any questions that they may have.
And you can go to the second most accessed site in the world, which is YouTube.
In the world. YouTube. The new TV on the mobile.
Now you're on there.
Yeah, look, we have. We've had a lot of feedback from people where they've wanted to be able to see the show, but also take the key points out.
Yeah.
What are the big things? A lot of people ring during the week and say, well, what should I take from last week's show? So what we've done is we've created Envision Financial Canberra as a YouTube channel, and every week we'll have you and I sitting here on video.
How awful.
And we've both got a face for radio, as we know.
Don't do it while you're eating.
But in that, we've then tailored the show to say that we've taken all the key points out, both in the first part and the second part of the show, so that people can stop it, pause it, write it down, and then go away and evaluate their own stuff and make sure that they've got in their portfolios and their structures what we cover off.
There it is. It's Envision Financial Canberra. You can go onto the YouTube, and I'm sorry about the vision that you'll see.
And we apologise in advance for that.
And if you'd like to make an appointment with Luke and his great team at Envision, in Townsend Street, down the end at 4452 upstairs, 6260 4749, or you can go online, envisionfinancial.com.au. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.